Hi, everybody. David Donaldson here with my associate Joe Martin on another episode of Entrepreneurial Impact. In this week's episode, we have Anthony Carr joining us once again, broker, trainer, instructor, and licensed agent with KW United. Anthony, welcome to the show.
Glad to be here. Thanks.
Hey, this week's episode, I wanted to focus on things a little bit differently. People know you as an instructor and trainer, but you're also very deliberate and intentional around your business. Right? You run a spirit-based business, right? And you're very focused on, we say a lot of times about being the realtor of local knowledge. And to me, you certainly reflect that because you know your numbers inside and out. So I thought today's journey could kind of take us down that path as you look at how are you understanding your local marketplaces, the story that numbers tell you, and how you're sharing that amongst your people, at the same time growing your base of influence both through your database and your social sphere. Mm-hmm. So let's kind of just back in a little bit. So tell everybody a little bit more about your background, where you're from.
My background.
And how you got into where we are today.
I was drawn to DC like many people through politics, but from the writing perspective, I was a political writer. And then I got into the local scene of writing, and then they got into business and real estate editing. And then the next thing I know, I'm over at NBAR as their manager of communications, running all their stuff. And that's where I got into looking at the data. And as the agents built relationships with them, many of them came in and said, "You really should be in real estate." I said, "I am." They said, no, you should get your license and go sell houses. And so I was being recruited, I guess. That was about 30 years ago. Next year will be 30 years that I've had my license. I know. I started when I was 18. But anyway,
just like all of us.
So then I've got into real estate and sales and marketing. And then I've been a broker for several years as well. So I'm selling, managing, brokering, and training up the next generation.
Now, what I have watched you over the, gosh, it's crazy that we've kind of known each other for the better part of 10 years.
I know.
You've always been the local numbers guy, right? Mm-hmm. By default, like you need to know something when we're presenting and we're communicating what's going on in our local marketplace. You were the guy. So the numbers to you tell a story. Mm-hmm. Why are you so passionate about that?
Well, I think what you got to look at is we always hear national numbers, and the media will grab onto the national numbers and run with them. And the challenge I have with that is I just tell people, look, don't make a local decision based on national data. You just can't do it. And most of the times the questions that'll come to me from consumers is, wow, I hear listings are up and that low prices are coming in. I said, well, not in Northern Virginia. Back when Amazon decided to put their second headquarters here, folks were asking me, oh, that's going to be great. I said, well, it's 25,000 jobs over 5-8 years. That's fine. Are they bringing any houses with them? Can I buy those online? Oh, I can't. Okay, same problem. Doesn't matter that they're coming in, and it's all national news and everything, but I have to have the local data to help guide me in my marketing, but then also guide my consumers and my buyers and my sellers and what they need to approach when it comes to pricing, when it comes to how they're structured their offers and that sort of thing. It's the baseline of our market. We have to know what's going on with that data to help us come across as, you sound like you know what you're talking about. And that's a great statement. You sound like you know what you're talking about. We're in the holidays right now, right? When people walk up to you at a party or at an event at the end of the year, and they ask, so how's the market? You now know that you own a piece of their mind. If they come up to you and ask, so are you still selling real estate? You've lost it. You haven't gotten a piece of their mind. And so they know I know the market, and they come in and they say, so how's it going with the market? What's going on? I hear it's really hot, because they see my data. They see my reports. They see my videos. They see my newsletter and my postcards. And so therefore, that's the importance of knowing that the data, so you can kind of talk to it off the top of your head and then not be national numbers, because that has no bearing on us.
That, you know, that's the important thing, right? And what I've always said, you just mentioned a couple of things there, is the dynamic level of communication,
right? That you get out to your sphere because you recognize not everybody's in the same place, right? You're still right. doing mailers. You're still making phone calls. You're posting social media. You're doing video on YouTube, right? And you're starting to get into stories and reels. But before you do all of that, I'm still going to live in the numbers for a little bit. In order to become the local area expert, right? You don't just have to be out there in the field. You have to engross yourself with the details. What does that look like for you? How much time are you spending, right? I'm sure that is kind of skewed over time, but there's still a baseline measure. How much time do you spend looking at numbers?
Daily. I mean, I'm probably in a unique position where I have a lot of folks coming to me. I need help with this pricing. I'm not getting this contract through. What do I need to do differently? And I say, well, let's go to the numbers and take a look at what's happening in the market that you're trying to buy in. So I'm looking at several components of this. I'm looking at several pieces that I'm looking for in the market. The number one thing is the absorption rate. And that's the number of houses that are on the market divided by the number of homes that have gone under contract in the last 30 days. That gives me my absorption rate. 1.0 means 1 month. And so I got to also remember that a seller's market is technically under 3 months supply. Now, we've been in that 1 to 2 month supply for so many years in Northern Virginia, well, actually the whole DC market, that when it gets to a 2 month supply, everyone's panicking. They think it's a buyer's market. When in reality, it's just approaching normal, but we're so used to five offers in the first day that it's on the market that we think that's the way it's always needs to be. So I'm looking for the absorption rate. What I like about the absorption rate is as I check that week after week, I can see it move quicker than getting to the end of the year, end of the month, and find out, oh, this is how many sold and this is what happened on the pricing. Now let's compare that to the month before. The absorption rate gives me a snapshot view right now of what's happening in the market. I'm also looking at days on market. That tells me, you know, how long is it taking for those properties to absorb? When the rates went up in 22 to the 7% range, we still had a 1 to 2 month supply. It was just taking longer to sell them. But in the 30 days, we were still selling in a 1 month supply, 1.5 month supply. Now, the higher price ranges, and that's another thing, is you divide your market up by price range and locale. I mean, that sounds like that would be, yeah, let's all do that. But when people come to me and show me, hey, look at all McLean. No, you can't look at McLean. You got to look at one of the zip codes of McLean. Look at all McLean. Well, no, what price range? Is that over 1.5 million or under 1.5 million? So you have to subdivide that to get what your days on the market are doing for those particular types of properties. And then the listing number, is it up or down? We've been down for so long that we get so excited when it's up 8%, which is where we are in November. November listings up year over year, 8%, but we're still 50% of where we were in 2020. So we're still not have enough inventory for the jobs that are coming into the market. And then finally, it's price trends. That's the final number. When you see that prices are moving up and that kind of thing, it's only because all the other things have gone into account. We keep growing jobs, and houses are where the jobs go at night. And if you're not putting up enough houses, then you're not really preparing the market to absorb the jobs that you're creating. So all of that in a nutshell is how I got to know what's going on in the market and how that's important for me to share that with my office, my fellow agents, and then also with my buyers and my sellers.
So now let's talk about the buyers and the seller side, because everything you talk to, like you said, you're in a unique situation because your agents go to you for this, right? So that makes you not just the local area expert for your consumers, but the agents as well. Right? How do you or do you change that narrative? What does that conversation look like? I'm not going to say globally, but across your database to your world of people. How are you getting that out to there to communicate them to with and having the conversations at a level that they're able to digest it? Because, well, they're not licensed, although they pretend to be.
Yeah, that's for sure. They listen to WTOP news and they see a report coming across their screen, and the whole greatness and weirdness and horribleness of the algorithms out there is that you click a few things and you're going to start getting information whether you wanted it or not. And so because of that, We have to be the voice of reason. We can only be the voice of reason if we know what the data says. I'll catch agents that'll say the same thing that I'm hearing in some newscast somewhere or some website they went to. And I just know by looking at the numbers, that's not accurate. That's not real data. And so it's important for me to come to the table with the data out of the local MLS, not from the national websites, not from the ones where they're using an algorithm. And an algorithm does not walk in the house. It doesn't smell the house. It doesn't listen to the house as it's walking through. It's just an algorithm based on data. And that's why those numbers can be off so much. So the agent component, I had someone ask me, well, do you trust AI? Yeah, I trust AI when it's authentic intelligence. When it's artificial intelligence, no, I don't necessarily trust it. And so we as agents and professionals in the industry, we are the authentic intelligence that's necessary to help people make wise decisions.
So how are you talking that through with your consumers now, right? Because you have a lot of mediums. You come from a communications background. You've mm-hmm. seen the value of social media. I'm watching you pour a lot of time into your YouTube channel, right? Yeah. What are you paying attention to and what are you utilizing to say, okay, my consumers are hearing me and this is what they're looking to me for?
Right. Bars and charts. I mean, I like making charts because it takes the, you know, all this digits and everything and in information from a table into a visual picture. So I use that as just a means of letting people know this is what's going on with the market. And actually, as I'm pushing this out, it's two-pronged. Agents will need to use the information to dictate or to help them determine what they need to say and what they need to be sharing with their consumers. Consumers, it's not really like they want to know what's the average price of a townhouse in their community. It's actually what I'm using that for is like, Anthony knows what he's talking about. He's on top of the market. He's keeping up with what's going on out there. And I think as agents, we have to be careful that we're not grabbing some chart from a national organization and putting it out there on our social media and make it look like we know what we're talking about. No, you're sharing the same charts that everyone else that subscribes to that service is sharing. And I'm not going to name names. So it's just if you're doing national stuff on your data feed, you've stepped into the pool of data, but you really need to get into the deep end. And the deep end is our Bright MLS. It's talking about your zip code, talking about your community, knowing what's going on with those, knowing that, why did this one sell for 600 and that one 850? Well, the 600 is the 850 because the 600 was a teardown and the 850 is what they did with it once they got done. But if you can't talk that to the market, that algorithm is going to pick up a 600. And know that's part of it. So my consumers, it's really a credibility thing. It's a confidence thing that they have with me. Anthony knows what he's talking about. I'm going to call him at my tax assessment. I think it's too high. I want to challenge it. And I might go back to them and say, no, you don't want to challenge it. And here's why. A, B, C. This is what's going to happen to your value if you do that. For the agents, it's to help them to be able to put together their presentations, to know how to talk to people about data and simplify it so they can understand it on a one-on-one level.
Perfect. Now, being the numbers guy that you are, and as the educator—
That's what you think I am, as a numbers guy.
Well, hey, I think of you, but I also think you as an educator and somebody that is continuously to grow. Like, there's something that I see on a daily basis. But I also see you throwing yourself into like, hey, what info are my consumers actually digesting? Right? You're seeing the results where they're coming to you because they're recognizing your value.
Right.
But you're always looking at your tools as well. Right. Mm-hmm. What are you seeing as you test through these different systems? Social is the big thing right now, but you've adopted it and you get it, but the numbers tell you a story. What are you looking for on your back end to say, hey, this is working or better, or maybe I tweaked this a little bit, either in your messaging or your charts or your graphs?
Yeah.
For the consumers.
Yeah, sure. The numbers are important, and I think they build credibility, and that's a great thing. What I'm getting a lot more from these days are stories about success stories, about what my buyers and sellers have been able to attain in a tight market. And I think that's part of what's going on right now. Is we have a lot of sellers who are trying to hang on to that low interest rate from 4 years ago, who are now entering a point of their life. I can't stay here with this 3.5% interest rate because now I need a house that's bigger. I got more kids coming. I got my grandparents coming. I got mom and dad coming, or we're going separate ways, or whatever it is. Life is taking over this interest rate. And so I think we're going to see a lot more people coming on the market and say, well, you know, forget the interest rate. I have to get a house that's going to suit my needs better right now. So the stories are helping them to see, hey, you can be successful in this market too. And so you can get the top dollar right now as well. But then you take the data and use that as part of your story. You can't reach for the brass ring when you are not conditioned. Condition is so important right now. Our culture is such that we have most people have two people at work, and they get home, they want to cook, spend time with the rest of the family, and go to bed and start the cycle all over again. So to ask them to do all the work for a seller that hasn't done the work and say, hey, look, I've lived in it 25 years. It's worked for me. All the buttons work on the stove. They should work for you. You do it if you want it. And then they pay in top dollar for a house, let's say $700,000 or $650,000. And now there's $50,000 worth of work that needs to be done. The buyer's not going to buy that. In every hot market, you have a hot market and a not market in every market. Even in a hot market, you have homes that won't sell because they've been either they're not conditioned properly, and so they're not selling. Come back to the data, which homes are selling quickly. They've been conditioned, they've been priced right. And the ones that have been conditioned, but now they're going for a brass ring above the brass ring. They're just going for way too much money. Again, come back to the data. Yes, you put in the carpet, and yes, you put it on the wall, but you're a two-level, three-bedroom, one-bath townhouse. That's a problem. I've had buyers walk through a house, and when we get through it, they look around. They're like, is that all? Is there not a third level somewhere? And so in essence, what you're really looking at is a condo in a townhouse. And so now they're trying to get what was a three-bedroom, two-bath house down the road because that's the number they saw, and they have an agent that's not explaining to them that, no, yours is not a $480,000 townhouse. It's a $450,000 townhouse, and they go for $480,000, and what happens? It stays on the market for 60 days, and now they're chasing it. That part of the market has not changed. If you're chasing that price, you're in a bad spot and probably going to sell for less.
So with all this information that you have at your disposal, right? And now you're looking at, okay, now you're telling this story online, whether it's through Facebook or YouTube, right? And you're choosing your messaging about, hey, do I do this in a short or do this in a story? What are you looking at performance-based, right, of how your consumers engage on those platforms that says, hey, I'm focused more on YouTube, or I'm focused more on Facebook from your outreach.
Right.
How's that being received for you? How do you see that?
Yeah. I think that's the debate for many agents out there is what social do I go with? And I'm admire a lot of agents that can do all of them at the same time and just seem like it's flawless. And I'm sure they've got some help doing that. I'm not an Instagram guy. You can tell by my hairline, I'm not an Instagram guy. Okay. So, I'm still stuck in the world of Facebook. And I remember Facebook when the only way you could get in Facebook is if you had a .edu email because you were a college kid. And finally the powers that be said, oh, all of our kids are now out of college. So they opened it up to all of us, parents. So I have chosen, my YouTube channel as my main social. And then that becomes my rack. That's where I'm putting all my library of content. And then I go from there and I share it on Facebook, and I share it on LinkedIn and wherever else I need to share it. And then I'll put a QR code together when I send a mailer out to a particular video. So that's kind of how I've put that together. And I just made a choice this last 12 months. I'm focusing on the YouTube component. And then from that, I have a video, I have an email, and then I have a mailer that all comes back to that. I think we still got to look at legacy media as a means of getting people into my space and to build the credibility. If they look at my postcard from the post office box to the birdcage and go, oh, that's Anthony, he did another chart, fine, into the birdcage, I've won. And so then they got a QR code. Oh, that's interesting. Let me read that and watch the video that he did. Then I've won. I don't think you got to use just one space, but I think a couple of them are good. Do them well. And again, I'm not the social media expert. I just know what's working for me as a busy agent
and that's the importance of this particular messaging, right? Like, because there are those that have mastered it, right, and at a high level. And I think the majority of the agents, right, we look at the users, right? We look at the age grade, we look at the demographics. We're using them at all different levels, but there's a mindset around it for most agents about can I or should I or how can I, right? Somebody just saying, hey, look, I've got this valuable information over all this time, right? And anybody can get there to become the local area of expert if they've invested the time like you have to get to know your numbers. You're just now embracing the levels of communication, right? This is, I'm going to where my people are now, right? And whether it's aunts, uncles, sons, daughters, grandparents, they're all online, right? So you're finding a way to control your narrative, right, through video, right? Video is where it's at right now, right? And you can't be on all channels. That's hard. But through social, right, whether it's YouTube and you've said, hey, I'm kind of going in on all YouTube, it's the control levels, right? So kind of talk about like some of the things that you enjoy that YouTube allows you to do from controlling your narrative and setting it up. How hard is that for you?
Sure. I'm a gabber, you know, I can talk
little.
So, yeah. But what I like about YouTube, it gives me the visual, it gives me the audio, and then I can put the audio into a program that gives me the text. So I like it that I get everything done in one, I can have access to various media through the one tool, the YouTube tool. And then also I like YouTube because it's a searchable place. And it doesn't start going down in the midst of all the other things that are coming across someone's feed.
Number two search platform behind Google is YouTube. Yep. Most people don't realize that. Number two search engine behind Google is YouTube. Let that resonate for a moment.
And when people are, I mean, we don't call it YouTube University for nothing. It's so true. And so when people want to say, you know, what's happening in the market in McLean, Virginia, then you want to have Real Estate McLean, Virginia in your meta files and things such as that on your YouTube channels. But then it's also giving you the ability to put something in text. It's giving you something to put into an email and to start that interaction. Again, YouTube is your wall of content. Facebook and Instagram, the way I look at it, is more like it's the promotion to my YouTube channel. That's kind of what I look at. And then YouTube, I think, just gives me the ability to produce all that at the same time. And I know that time is of the essence for everybody, especially for agents in their marketing. It's the unreproducible component of our business. And so when you're putting your voice into it, you got to put it in something that's going to give you three things out of it instead of one. I'm getting a video, I'm getting audio, I'm getting text, and I'm getting all my copy for my email and my postcards. So that's why I think it works for me. Others, like I said, they do a great job with Instagram. They do a great job with Facebook or what other social media they want to. I like the longevity and the time that it's on with YouTube. So when they get to my channel on YouTube, they can look up this information that I've got, or they can search my various playlists. Facebook, okay, it's a feed, whatever's going through, that's what they see, and they may not understand how to search for the media that's on Facebook or on Instagram. So that's why I as a realtor and as a producer of content that has a particular message, that's why I go for YouTube, because it's they come to my channel, it's long term, they can search what they need, and I've probably got the answer there.
Yeah, you know, I think that's a really good point to bring. I mean, there's the quick hits that show up if you show up in somebody's feed algorithmically on Facebook. Mm-hmm. But because YouTube is that number two search engine, right, you're showing up from the consistent content, right, that you're putting there, and it stays there. Right. So they're now seeing you on a regular basis from that component. You're also saying, hey, look, I'm getting audio that I can trim out and use. I'm getting video that I can trim out and use, which I can then put on those other feeds and reels. I'm getting the ability to bookmark right through the breakdown because it transcribes the scripts of my audios. And I can use those as certain. It's like that's what I'm hearing you say. Hey, look, this one engine, YouTube, allows me to feed all the other engines and drive everybody back here.
Exactly. That's it. It gives me, if I make a video or short or whatever for Instagram, or I make a video or a short or whatever you call it for Facebook, it's only in Facebook. I can't do anything with it. It's there. Maybe I can, and I just don't have the bandwidth to try to figure all that out. YouTube gives me the video, and now I can do whatever I want to with that video. And that video actually is on my computer. So if something ever happens to YouTube, I've still got my video on my platform, on my hard drive that's now synchronized into, it's synced up with my cloud memory. So I've got my content so nothing can happen to it, and then I can redo it wherever I need to. I'm doing a lot of Q&A right now because I was answering questions to the agents, and then I finally went from just putting it in an email to putting it online, and that's really getting a lot of traffic. And I realized that, the questions I'm answering for agents are exactly the same questions that consumers have. And so I kind of hit an aha there. And they're short, which is hard for me to do. I'm a long-winded guy. I can tell with all the answers I'm giving you. When I do a video about, you know, why cash may not be the best thing for you, it's going to be 15 minutes. And I know most people drop out after about three. So the Q&A has really helped me to make that smaller. And then I think we have to be smart as realtors of what is it that I'm putting out there? Am I looking for hits and clicks? Or am I looking for information out there to my sphere, my tribe, which may only be 500 people? I don't need to have 500,000 followers. I need 500 realtors in Northern Virginia, DC, and Maryland who want to use me and count me as the expert for their marketplace. That's what I need. And that's how I construct my content, to just feed that beast of my tribe. I don't need it to feed people in Los Angeles. I don't need it to go to Iceland. I need it right here in my marketplace, because this is where I work.
The difference there is that if they're in Los Angeles and they're in Iceland and they're searching for Northern Virginia on that number two search engine, who are they going to find, though? Right.
That's
the other side of that.
Yeah, that's true.
I understand your deliberate nature, because we focus intently on relationships and our people. But, you know, that number's constantly fluctuating, right? I agree. Sure. 10,000 mass is great, but who do we actually impact, right? We have a smaller number, elevated impact on a smaller number of people. But once we've hit that autopilot for that, right, the leads come in locally. But then you have that circumference that grows because laws of attraction. People start to come in, and you've strategically placed yourself, and you're starting to understand the dynamics and the format. You're understanding, okay, that while you've got a long format platform, the more you chunk it down, the more they're going to digest. And maybe the more that they come back.
Yeah, you got a good point. I did a longer video. It was a walk around a house to talk about how to prep the outdoor of your house. It was like, it was COVID, because I had a scarf, a mask hanging around my throat. I remember now, it was like 2020. So I took it and I found a couple of spots I could make a short out of it for YouTube. And overnight it got like 530 views. So I thought, okay. And it was like, you know, as is, why you want to be careful about selling your home as is the spot that I picked out and made a 60-second short out of. So, again, that's like, I had a longer video that was like 7 or 8 minutes. I found a spot in it that I could make a short out of. And then it got me what I was looking for, which was some good views and hopefully continuing to increase the credibility I have with my tribe. And yeah, I'm not looking for which video or which mailer is going to get me those 5 leads. I'm looking to continue to build credibility with my tribe, who's going to refer me business. They're going to refer me family, friends, coworkers. And that's what I'm looking for. And the video, we cannot ignore it as agents anymore. Get on it, start doing it. Remember, you're first or your worst, and just start doing it. And eventually, as you get, you know, several videos down the pike, just talking about real estate and making it short, I think then you're going to start seeing, this is building credibility in my tribe as an agent, with an email list that you're sending the links to that are based on to videos that are based on your YouTube channel. Well,
I know you're connecting with Joe here, because Joe's all about telling your story, right?
I can't get a word in edgewise with him on here. I don't understand.
Well, you guys are going down like numbers and stuff like that. I didn't want to go like, it's already kind of my thing in general. Yeah. Like, I love numbers, so I didn't need to like add into that. I think you guys are doing a great job. And I think what I was thinking about throughout your guys's, you know, discussion here was like bigger themes. And I think, in my world, I always try to take complex. I think the definition of intelligence is taking highly complex, intricate ideas and be able to make them digestible into a very like simple concept. And what I heard you two talking about was really about depth. That in a world of social media and real estate that everyone wants to have width. When you have width, you don't have depth. And what I'm hearing you talk about is a lot of how the numbers reflect depth and intelligence and expertise and trust and validity and value and a lot of educational pieces about a market. And what I was just really thinking about was what would be your advice to real estate professionals about the depth of the relationship that they're providing to their potential consumer?
Well, I think you have to share with them information they can't get anywhere else on real estate. I do a magnet every year. It's the one place that I send out recipes. It's the only time I send out recipes is in my calendar. Okay. So there's all the recipes for the year. you know, just make them and send me a picture of it. Okay. So I'm like, I go to the party. I was at my grandkids' musical at their church. And so I don't even go to this church, but I got people that are on my mailing list in this church. Three or four came by and said, "How's the market?" Now, I own a piece of their mind. Okay. It wasn't about, "I saw your funny video of XYZ." It was, "How's the market? I understand they're selling like crazy. I understand the prices are wacky." And this is just during the cookies social, you know, after the program. And so I think you want to get to a point where when people see your face, at least in this area of your life, they think, "Oh, there's the real estate guy. There's the real estate gal." Okay. So that's kind of what you want to build there. And so when you talk about the how do I do this? It's make it simple. The challenge with the long version of all these things is most people don't have the bandwidth to sit there and listen to me discuss how to do pricing on your property. And I could do an hour on it. You know that, David. But
oh, yeah.
They've got to know in 30 seconds and 60 seconds the piece that would entice them. Two things. Maybe call me, maybe email me. But honestly, I'm looking to build my tribe and let my tribe know Anthony is the go-to person. And he's the one that's got the data and he's giving it to me in a way that I can understand. And I think to Joe's point, we can't be all things to all people. We need to be the realtor to all people. We need to be the market expert to all people. I'm all about let's have the social type of things going on with I'm having a cookout in my backyard. Come on by. And you want to have those events and things such as that. But the most times they're going to see me is probably on their phone. On the computer, in their feed, that's where they're going to see me. And they need to see me not talking about this latest, greatest, recipe for apple pie. They need to see me talking about the American dream. And that's what we represent is the access to and the use of the American dream to build the personal wealth for their family. Does that make sense?
It certainly does.
Yeah, okay.
And here's the important thing is that there's one thing you miss where they'll see you, but I also know that you're diligent about this. You call them, right? So you still make the intentional calls, right, to maintain that relationship and not just hide behind the vehicle of social media, right? You are well-rounded in your relationship of going to where your people are and maintaining and respecting that relationship that you've invested and they've invested with you over time.
Right. That's a good point. And that let me just comment on that. So it is call and it's, coffee. Notes calls Popeyes is the big thing. I replace Popeyes with coffee. Let's go get coffee or mineral water or whatever your thing is. And also one thing I'm using my YouTube channel for is when I'm getting ready for a buyer or a seller interview, I say, "Oh, great. You need it. Let me send you this link." And I send them to the top of my playlist called Selling Your Home. And so they watch all my short videos on prepping their house. So I'm using the YouTube channel not just as a means of production and promotion. It's also a tool for me to educate my consumer that I'm about to go meet with. And so I send it to them in the phone, watch these videos. It'll help us with our meeting as we get together. So it's like a video brochure, a video presentation of the buyer or the seller side. And it helps me help them through the instructional videos that I've put together for them to understand, oh, this is what I need to do. So again, everyone's looking for that click that turns into a phone call, that turns into an appointment. It's not really what I'm looking for. I'm looking for the credibility. I'm looking for the institutional connection with me and my brand, and that I'm going to use this as a tool to educate you so that you understand where I'm coming from as your realtor, and that I understand where the market is. So the market reports are in a different video as well. And then you've got the other one over here that's about buying your home or selling your home or investing. So I think as far as the video component, that's how I'm using that. And again, I've just chosen YouTube as my social media of choice. I get some enjoyment out of it to just, work on getting that video down to 60 seconds or answering the questions and moving along from there. It works for me. I don't want to have to work something that is laborious, and I do not look forward to it. That's why I'm not really good at Instagram. I've got someone else that's doing it for me, and she puts up beautiful videos that I'm just like, okay, great. That's happening over there. But I like creating the content that connects with my tribe and helps them see what they need to do to maximize their real estate American dream. And just knowing who I am and what I do, and that I haven't gone away.
All right. Well, Anthony, listen, I appreciate that. And I'd like that you dropped in here that, hey, I like this one channel, so that gets my focus. I'm not ignoring this other channel over here, and I have leverage for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you recognize that it's not an ignorance to it. It's necessary. I'm taking care of that component, but this is where I'm going to invest it. Well, AC, look, you're valuable. I appreciate you. I love the information that you bring to everybody. And sure. I hope everybody listening hears and takes these nuggets from you of how to embrace certain technologies and mm-hmm. maximize it, right, for what it is and to getting your message across. And I think, driving your consumers there for the questions and the seller how to's to get ready as a preamble to your appointments. Absolutely. Sure. Cool.
Yeah.
Happy holidays, buddy.
Oh, man. Thanks for the opportunity.
Thanks for joining us on Entrepreneur Impact. And we'll see everybody next week.
Thanks, Anthony.
Great. All right. Take care.
Bye, buddy. Thank you.